You will remain and well rest yourself.
I must object, my lord.
You will obey this my counsel.
But, my lord...
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we're doing kind of an easy episode for this month, because there was a new adaptation-ish of Dracula that came out recently. And that is Nosferatu, directed by...
Re-adaptation make.
Yeah, yeah. And... And so, yeah, we're gonna talk about that. And Colin and I have been talking about... Colin asked, so are we discussing this as an adaptation of Dracula or as a remake of Nosferatu? And I say, yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Well, they did credit both, so...
Well, I think he credited the original movie because it's really, in my opinion...
very close.
It's an adaptation of the Nosferatu movie.
Right.
But they gave credit to the original Dracula because Nosferatu was a ripoff of the original Dracula.
Right.
And, you know, if you haven't listened to our episode about that yet, Nosferatu happened because a German director thought it would work better if it was in Germany instead of in England. Mm-hmm. And so he readapted it all, but he never got the rights for it.
Right.
And so Bram Stoker's widow sued him for it, won the suit because it was a valid copyright violation,
yeah,
and ordered all copies of it to be destroyed.
Oh, crap.
But they failed.
Yeah.
And that's why we can watch it today.
Yes. And it became this beloved science fiction, not science fiction movie, silent movie.
Right.
It's funny too, because I think in the original, we'll get to talking about the 70s remake as well. But yeah, the names were changed because it's Count Orlok instead mm-hmm. of...
Well, all the names were changed too. Hutter and Ellen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the Nock. All the folks, right? Everybody who was the crazy guy in, you know, Dracula. And
right.
Van Helsing's not Van Helsing, but he is Van Helsing.
Renfield, yeah.
He's a whatever the heck word they used. I forgot now.
Yeah, it was a Hammer film before Hammer films came out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, the nice thing about a silent film is it's pretty easy to translate it into other languages.
Right.
So you can find it. And the versions that you can find these days have... I improved the picture, I guess.
Right, quote-unquote remastered. Yeah. I watched the remastered version mm-hmm. that was remastered in
And I'm not sure 90s, what the original, you know, music that went with it was. I mean, in a lot of silent films of that era, the music was in the theater. Right.
Right.
Oh, so you don't think this was original music?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, it was classical,
I guess that makes sense. But there would have been... Would there have been a written score then for them to... Like in this case, they remastered it or whatever, right?
Yeah. I don't know how scores work for silence.
I wonder if there was a rewritten score for it then or something or not.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Dang, I wish I thought I would have looked it up.
But anyhow, yeah. So we're in this thorny, like, yes, Nosferatu started as a, quote, adaptation of Dracula. Mm-hmm. Definitely was found to be, you know, legally it's an adaptation of Dracula. And then in the 70s, Werner Herzog remade it, but he got the rights. I'm not sure if it had fallen into the public domain by then. Probably not. I'm not sure. But he renamed Count Orlok to Dracula. He renamed, the characters to Mina and Lucy, though they're switched.
Yes.
and Jonathan, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But mostly, we'll talk about the 2025 version of it. I guess it was 2024, right? Because it came out on Christmas Day. Colin and I didn't skip out on our families to go see it. But James,
I went and saw it with my family.
Yeah,
yeah, she did. Smart man.
So you went to see it with your sister, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was awesome.
Nice. Well, so let's just kind of start with sort of general thoughts about the remake. Actually, Robert Eggers, other experience with the director?
I don't know. Tell me what else he's done.
The Northman?
Then yes. That's one of my favorite movies on that movie.
We saw that on your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was great.
We all saw that together. The Witch?
I don't think I've seen The Witch.
The Lighthouse?
Mm-mm.
That's all of them.
Okay.
So.
Well, I like The Northman. Prolific, so. But he's also fairly young, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's fairly new to the game, and people who like his movies really like his movies.
This makes sense now with the direction take that I was thinking. Okay, good. Yeah, because I'm just going to start. That was one of the things I liked about the movie. I liked the direction, the cinematic, like, immersiveness of it all. I can slightly see how Colin would go the way he went. But I think it served the movie well to for Dracula to actually be horrifying and disgusting of a character.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I think it was a great adaptation of that, of the Dracula, of a vampire, right?
Right.
He was just gross and disgusting and like breathing weird. He was a monster.
Oh, very monstrous.
Yeah. He wasn't like this whole sexy vampire thing we get from
he's
like
not
Twilight,
the Frank Langella version.
Other urban fantasy stuff.
No.
So I thought that part was fantastic. Yeah. And the way that they did the sound, like when he was drinking someone's blood,
it was gross.
You heard the pumping and the liquid. It was just like, oh my God.
That's actually consistent with the Herzog movie, because it kind of has a slurping to it.
Kind of, and it was always like, wherever he could bite, he did. And it wasn't always the neck. He was like going for the chest and stuff.
No, he was chest only.
Was it chest only?
Yeah.
Like, okay, it was chest only.
No, he wasn't chest only. He was chest only on... It showed, you know, because it has the Demeter in it, right? And so that's one of the things is that I guess the Demeter is sort of in the original, right? Because
it is
a famous shot of him on
there's a ship.
Where it's like a day for night shot.
Mm-hmm. Was he chomping on throats and on the boat? I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Spreading plague, chomping on throats.
Yeah, it showed him come up behind somebody, and he definitely went for the neck. But that's like when he's going for a kill, not when he's like maybe trying to make a servant of someone. Because that's always the question, what happens? Do they become, one of his...
A thrall,
I suppose. Do they become a vampire?
But they didn't have the Dracula's vampire, or no, Dracula's brides weren't in this movie.
No,
they weren't. Or in Nosferatu either, right? The original one.
No, those are all gone.
Yeah.
Well, except for maybe in the 1979 Werner Herzog.
Okay.
Because really, vampirism is the ultimate pyramid scheme, right?
Touché.
I suppose so, yeah.
Nice.
Multi-level marketing. Medieval level marketing.
Medieval level marketing.
I guess it's not medieval, right? It's all Victorian.
True. Victorian. We're Victorian, yeah. But yeah, so that's mine. That's my take.
Okay.
I enjoyed it from all that perspective. It was great.
It's beautiful. The costumes, top notch. The lighting, the visualizations.
The visuals, yeah. He was scary.
I have definitely seen some critics saying, I just love Robert Eggers' eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his storytelling. They don't have any use for the storytelling part.
They think he makes bad stories beautifully.
Yeah, or just at least unclear stories, right? I mean, like something like The Lighthouse is very, it's weird, it's shot really interestingly.
There were some parts, I think, especially with his wife, Hutter's wife, I didn't really understand the backstory there.
Yeah, I want to get to that after we get.
Yeah, like her interaction with what seemed to me like a fairy world of some sort.
Mm.
There was more of the supernatural in this Nosferatu than I believe any of the others.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I think there's a complete role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about how this is not a romantic Dracula.
Right.
But in a way, it is a romantic Dracula.
Between
Ellen and her. And she's not as much of a victim as more of a... she's just as bad as he is in her own way.
Right.
Oh, okay. I want to pull on that thread at some point.
Yeah.
Let's circle back to that.
If you want
to
circle back.
Let's finish out just sort of like, initial impressions. I know you had some strong feelings about it, Colin, thinking about it, the days after it. So do you want to talk about that?
I don't see where the nudity advanced the plot. I don't see where it was anything other than egregious and showing. None of it. Not the naked lady who was sacrificed in order to be a lure for the vampire so they could kill it with the gypsy camp. Not anything involving... Mina, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the point.
Okay, you were calling it lewd, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The other Nosferatu movies, Nosferati. We never did come
Nosferati.
Up with that. Nosferatu. Nosferatu.
A little bit of an inflationary language there.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have any actual nudity in them, right? And talking about that, the romantic thing, right? One thing certainly in the Herzog movie is he's kind of a pathetic figure, Count Orlok is. He's obviously, he's old and feels, the passage of time and is depressed, it seems like, until,
I think that was the whole point in the book with Dracula, right? He was just... He was old and tired in an area of the world that was, to him, seemed old and tired.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go somewhere new, and that's why he wanted to go to London.
Britain, yeah.
Get some new blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me that fresh British blood.
But I never empathized with him. It's like,
right.
I can understand that after terrorizing villagers here for hundreds of years,
right.
I get kind of old and I want to meet up with new people.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, especially in Werner Herzog and in the 2024, mm-hmm. there's more of a tragedy of Dracula, Nosferatu.
Right.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a little soliloquy where he says, oh, do you know how heavy the weight of the centuries are and
yeah.
how lonely it is and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, you look like a lamprey eel.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to empathize and feel sorry for you?
Yeah.
And you kill people for a hobby.
Right. So. If I'm curious if anybody else thinks that the Klaus Kinski version in Werner Herzog movie, if to me he sounds exactly like Rami Malek did in No Time to Die. I think Rami Malek was trying to evoke that character.
I've never seen No Time to Die.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's worth watching. I prefer the Mission Impossible movies, but you know, I like the Daniel Craig Bond. So, but yeah, it's very sort of just, I don't know, not wimpy, but he doesn't sound powerful, right? And that's one of the things that I really liked in this movie is the voice that Bill Skarsgård put on, you know, come to me.
Yeah.
And he had all that kind of wheezing.
Right, wheezing the whole time.
Yeah.
It was nuts and creepy.
Yeah. And so, you know, I enjoy Robert Eggers movies, and I totally understand when people are like, I'm frustrated by the storytelling here because it's more in service of the visuals and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that kind of thing. I like movies that make me go, huh? And sometimes it's frustrating, but other times, you know, I don't mind it. And with this one, it's such a well-worn topic, right, that you can't really get lost because you know the bones right. of the story.
Yeah, but James did.
Well, yeah. And in this one, it does introduce that new element. And so I do right. want to talk about this. And I saw it with Ethan, and he really liked it. He really enjoys Robert Eggers as well. But the novel thing here, and this is one of the things for me where you have something that is so well worn, right? Well, let's try and introduce, you know, some new elements to it. Or like in this case, let's bring in some of the elements from the book Dracula, right? Now Eggers doesn't rename the characters. He keeps the same names as mm-hmm. in the 20s movie,
right.
The silent movie. But he does bring in a couple of things from the book. And one of the things that I really liked that he brought in was the mustache. Because this is one of the only Draculas where he has a mustache.
Hmm. Bram Stoker's Dracula had a mustache.
Yeah, when he was his young, sexy Dracula, he had a bit of a mustache. Yeah.
He had a mustache in London, too.
Oh, yeah. When he had the big butt head, he didn't.
Well, I was just thinking in London when he had the top hat and he was out and down.
Yeah,
when he had a mustache.
The sexy vampire
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do really like the idea of Dracula as a monster, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the whole universal monster.
I really liked it. That's what got me in this movie. I was like, oh, he's a proper monster. And this was just like sexy. I'm like, damn, this guy. Sorry, it's Gary.
Yeah. And they didn't hold back.
And the dude that played Hutter did a great job at visualizing that fear.
Nicholas Holt.
He looked scared shitless.
Yeah.
Well, you remember, he was in the...
he was Renfield.
He was Renfield.
Right.
Renfield.
Yeah. That's right.
So what a cool way to approach a character from seeing it from both sides, you know?
Mm, true. Yeah,
this is definitely a different version of Dracula than the Nicolas Cage version.
Yeah.
One fun thing is it came out on Christmas Day, and it's set mm-hmm. at Christmas. And at some point, there's a scene where in the background, there's a Christmas tree, and there's a Star of David on it. So it's a Christmas movie and a Hanukkah movie.
Nice.
Yeah, and like you said, this is not the romantic Frank Langella version, right?
No.
Where he's, you know, the sexy, sparkly kind of vampire. He's still, like, eating the bird, you know.
That guy was pretty great, too, actually.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting was pretty good.
All of it, yeah.
And
yeah.
Bill Skarsgård's performance, what he did in order to incorporate the Mongolian throat singing mm-hmm. and to pitch his voice that low naturally and to learn ancient Dacian, which was the language that Dracula was and Nosferatu were speaking at the time.
Mm.
Orlok.
Oh, okay. Orlok.
Right. Yeah. I mean, very impressed.
Mm. We were talking about some of the nudity in it, right? And there's the scene where in all of the movies, he gets to the area, you know, Bohemia or Transylvania, and kind of gets warned, don't go there.
Right.
Right.
And he sees a ritual where they're essentially using a virgin as bait, right? And where there's this naked woman on horseback. And mm-hmm. I kind of inferred that the horse would somehow lead, like she would somehow be attracted to where the vampire was. I don't know that the vampire had influence over women or something. But then they open up that grave and right. You know, stake what's in it, right?
Right.
And that was interesting. It brought a different gross element to it as well.
Well, and that's one of the Dracula elements, because I don't think in the Nosferatu mythology that would work. The only way to do it is to have a pure maiden lure him and then hit him with the sun.
Right, right.
And until then, he's sunproof.
The whole virgin sacrifice kind of thing there. And I don't find that kind of nudity salacious, right? To me, it wasn't supposed to be titillating. And so that and I didn't think the other parts were either. I did like some of the fun bits of Victorian medicine where they're talking about how, because here we do, let's talk about this backstory with
Ellen.
Ellen. Yeah. Where she had an imaginary friend as a child, right? It turns out that it was Dracula kind of projecting into her mind.
Right.
At least I get that impression, right?
Orlok.
Orlok, right. And I, you know, let's talk about her culpability, because we talked about it with the Bram Stoker's version, where it makes Mina a little more culpable, like where she's trying to go to him.
Yeah.
Right. And part of that is he's corrupting her mind.
He was more luring her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in this movie, it's like they made some deal when she was a teenager or some crap. Right.
Right. Right. But you know, young minds can be corrupted. Right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean.
And she did seem particularly susceptible with her. Whatever they called it back then.
Hysteria.
Hysteria. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, the movie opens with like her having a dream encounter with him. And this is something she's tortured by. And Lily Rose Depp did a great job with the physicality of the convulsions and stuff. And you know, that wasn't CG.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
She didn't hurt herself.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. This is more like a Ouija board tragedy horror movie, or it's like you invited this stuff in and
right. 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 Yeah. She played Dungeons and Dragons and that's how the demons got in.
Yeah.
At some point the doctor comes in and the doctor is like the main man from The Witch. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's got that great deep voice. I can't remember the actor's name. He says something about, you know, it's her uterus that's causing the problem. So make sure she sleeps in a corset, you know, to restrict the blood flow to her uterus. Yeah. And this is, I mean, that's the root word of hysteria is hyster, which means uterus. It's just, did you not know that?
No.
Yeah.
It gives a whole new.
So only women can have hysteria?
Yes. Only women can be hysterical. Right. And,
jeez.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I mean, I can't remember if we talked about it on here or if I've talked about it on Hugo's there about, you know, different outcomes in medicine, right? Where sometimes women have a harder time being believed by doctors.
Yeah.
Where they describe their pain as a 10 and they're like, you know.
What do you
women
know?
Complain a lot.
But, overreacting.
You know, yeah. It's just childbirth. So, and obviously, you know, there's deep roots of that kind of misogynism that goes back to the roots of what hysterical means. So, yeah, hysterical fiction.
Yep.
So is she culpable, do you feel, because she made the deal? Or do you excuse that because she was a young girl? Or how do you feel about that, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, I think she feels that she's culpable. And so I kind of, I'm like, well, I guess I'll believe her, because that's one reason that she makes the decision she makes, to try and kind of take matters into her own hands. And this happens in the Herzog movie as well. I don't remember how much of it was in the 20s one, mm-hmm. where she is
basically. She learns it from the book, what she needs to do.
And in the 70s one, you know, she reads that kind of stuff. She knows what's up, mm-hmm. and she tries to get the men around to help. And they all just say, you're being irrational. And so she realizes, I got to do this myself. And so she sacrifices herself.
Well, that was kind of like the book, right? They were all about not letting her sacrifice herself.
Well, yeah. Then they sideline her at mm-hmm. critical moments.
Right.
And which leads
which to, is like, what?
Yeah. But to bad outcomes.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah. So I like that in the Nosferatu movies that she is more the hero of the story, because she's the one who ends up luring him to his death.
So was there ever established why she made the deal with the devil?
That's
the part maybe I didn't get, but maybe it doesn't matter, I suppose. But
She was probably lonely. I mean, yeah. You know.
Scared, lonely little girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it did kind of like look like they had, like, I don't know, virtual sex or whatever in their garden when he came out of the ground or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
I was never totally clear on how consensual that was.
Right.
But I mean, you know, it's a 900-year-old vampire.
Yeah.
The age of consent, you know, it's half your age plus seven, or, you know, it's definitely creepy. That's all to say.
Anywho, that was the only, like, fuzzy part about what the heck was going on in the movie for me. I was like, okay, whatever. I figured it was something new for the director or writer, whoever, to introduce a supernatural element just to make it different than the rest.
Yeah. To me, it changes her standing. She's not purely a victim at that point.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so it's great that she takes responsibility, but by that point, she's
back
lost.
To your Ouija board comment. She brought it into this world kind of thing.
The two kids got killed. Her friend got killed. Her friend's husband got killed. Her husband was tortured. Plague in the city. I mean, it's just big consequences.
I like how they did the plague, too. Like how he was the coming of the plague.
Yeah, no, it's all beautifully shot. And like I said, right, it maybe it's a little muddled in what how culpable she really is. You know, it was she just a victim from earlier in her life that led her to, you know, to where she was. But, you know, the Jonathan character, Hutter.
Hutter.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of taken out of the equation in all of them, right? Because he in the 70s one, he's especially kind of, there's a different, you should watch it, James. The ending is slightly different. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they were going to do that ending in this one, but they didn't. But he's not really a lot of help to her in her hour of need.
No.
And so she kind of realizes what
Well, he wasn't really in any of them except for bringing in that book, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, at one point, Ellen and the doctor conspire to get him away so that she can sacrifice herself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and then this was Ellen and Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe's character.
Yeah. And, you know, in the 70s one and in the 20s one, right, it does look, you know, they talk about a woman with a pure heart, right? This one, it looks a little sexier, right? It's still not a sexy movie, I don't think, but it looks like in order to lure him, it's not just look at my pretty throat, you know, it's, you know, come to my bed is what it feels more like. And, you know, she has to say the words to him that she's welcoming this, you know, of her own free will.
Right. But
I don't think she necessarily is.
But there's in the 2024 movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. She's,
I'm saying she's not, she doesn't really want to join with him. Right. She's pulling a fast one on it.
Right, but she has to say the words because of the...
Yeah, yeah.
The magic, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the convincing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The vampire honey trap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So let's talk about it as a, you know, what do you think of it as a Dracula movie?
As a Dracula movie, it's not even close.
Okay.
It's so non-canonical.
But they had the communion wafers and the polluting of the soil. They had the Demeter. They had the mustache Colin.
With the 2024 one, there's more bones of Dracula there than there was in Nosferatu for 22.
Yeah, a little bit.
they weren't in London.
Well, yeah, like I said, but this the weave of the story.
And there were. Yeah, but it's...
He's going to a new land. Yes, it's not London.
He does go to a different... Oh, yeah. So, I mean...
Right? He brings the dirt with coffin full of dirt.
Yeah, so I guess...
There's a ship. Saying, you know, people get killed.
Are the characters the same name? No.
Right.
Right? And so then, if you compare that to iRobot...
There's definitely a lot changed. I give you that.
He goes to another city.
Mm-hmm.
There's the plague versus not the plague.
Right.
I mean, we could sit and talk similarities and differences because there's a lot of both.
Right.
It's just, to me, I think the differences outweigh the similarities.
There's no blood transfusions.
There's not a single blood transfusion. Right. And, the core character of Mina or Ellen, they're so radically different from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mina has a lot of agency. Right. She transcribes all the journals. She's putting together all the newspaper clippings and the letters from people and all these other things. And
I mean, but that leads into sort of my problem with the way that Mina is handled in Dracula versus in the Nosferatu properties, because she is more the hero in the Nosferatu movies than she is in the book. In the book, she's talked about as being important, but in the critical moments, they take her out of it. And the men have to come and handle things.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the most recent movie is I don't feel like she's the hero. She's taking responsibility for this horrible thing she has brought into her family, her immediate circle of friends, and the city.
Okay.
And that doesn't make her a hero.
She's cleaning up the mess she made.
She's cleaning up the mess she made. So she's taking,
I can definitely see that perspective.
And she's dead, right? She died at the end.
She dies in all three movies. All three Nosferatu movies.
I wasn't sure if she actually was dead in the 22 one. I wasn't 100% sure about that.
Yeah.
She definitely seemed pretty grotesquely dead in the 24 one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That shot coming out with them dead, I was like, blah, my gosh.
Yeah. Let's talk about the chest thing. I did think that was really interesting that he was biting the chest. I thought you had said there was some reason for that.
Yeah, I researched it really quick and I could not find an article that talked about it.
But okay.
When you think about the ease of going for somebody's neck where there are major arteries that supply the brain.
Mm-hmm. He's got to get through all this bone, right?
Going through the bones.
I'm like, dang, man.
Now, maybe if he's got like strain style projectile tendrils that will like create a hole and then go down and searching around and stuff.
His teeth didn't look that big.
No. Maybe he likes, you know, muscular blood rather than vascular blood or arterial blood.
You're just not going to get the volume, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you think he didn't quite get to the heart. He was just taking whatever blood he can get out of the chest.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, certainly in...
Although puncturing the heart would probably kill him pretty fast, so maybe that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, yeah, you don't necessarily want to do that.
I don't think you would survive that.
In the Strain novels, at some point, one of the vampire creatures likes to use the femoral artery.
Oh.
But they have like a stinger kind of straw.
Like a bee.
For draining people, yeah.
Yeah, or a hummingbird.
But yeah, it's like some of the we're going to bite the chest is, cynically I go, because that way they can show bare chests of various people.
Yeah. Fair point, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was an interesting choice. I'm not sure what was behind it, so.
Yeah, I thought it was weird too, a little bit. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Well. Not a fan.
Okay, so we talked about it as a Dracula movie. I agree. It's, you know, it's clearly a Nosferatu.
It's a vampire movie.
Yeah, it's not trying to be a Dracula movie, really. Yeah.
Not
even if it brings in some of the, you know, Dracula-ish stuff. It doesn't, you know, it deliberately didn't rename anybody like Herzog did.
Right.
But then what do you think of it as a Nosferatu remake? Did it bring anything new to it that you approved of?
I mean, I think it's always worth thinking about, you know, can we remake a movie made in the past with today's technology and do it better? And so, you know, they brought dialogue to it. They brought music to it. Mm-hmm. Some very tasteful CGI in several places, right? After that, I mean, there's Ellen the victim versus, you know, I feel like Ellen the complicit accomplice.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, part of what I like about this version is that in Dracula, the book, right? Or like in Bram Stoker's Dracula, right? The movie, right? You have the reincarnation of his love thing going on, right? And that clearly drives why he wants to go see her, Maybe he was, you know, mystically drawn to her in some way. Where in the Nosferatu movies, you know, you don't really get a sense for why he is fixated on her. And so I kind of liked that there was an additional element to it, like that she had reached out to him at some point in her past. And so that's why he's fixated on her. So I liked that element of it.
Versus just seeing a picture of her in a locket.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, and saying, lovely throat. that's
in the Herzog one. She had a great set of arteries.
She had huge breaking
veins.
I guess
that arterial fortitude.
she artered arterially.
maybe that's what they were going for. They were going for breasted boobily, and that's why he was attacking people's chests.
Yeah.
You know, part of it too is with the kind of, it does show some of her nudity, right? But she's this very, you know, unmarred, you know, lovely creature, right? And he's so grotesque. So it kind of brings those two together.
A juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Artfully done, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to rank anything.
Well, how about we do this? Can we give it a basic thumbs up, thumbs down?
Sure. I go thumbs up.
Yeah, I got a thumbs up.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up, too. For all the things that I said against it, the positives are incredible. I just think it would have been personally, I feel like it would have been a better movie without those things.
Okay. Well, that's good. I don't know that we have a firm plan for next month yet, but we will figure something out.
Yeah. Well, you've been talking about several different ideas.
Yeah. We have a bunch of different ideas. As soon as we're done recording, we'll figure something out. All right. Cool.
Yep. Good.
Thanks, guys.
Wrap it up.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next time, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off. Goodbye now, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.